dads.
That's what we do. Okay. Well, our scriptures today depict the story of two people. One is a woman who is described as a seller of purple cloth, and the other is a man that's been crippled for probably all of his adult life. And for each of these people, their lives are about to be transformed and changed dramatically. One through an encounter with the Apostle Paul, and the other through an encounter with Jesus Christ himself. And I'd like to, as I discuss these scriptures today, I'd like you to listen for ways in which God may be speaking to you today through these scriptures, and ways that they may affect your life and circumstances. Well, Paul, of course, is on one of his well-documented journeys through the areas populated by mostly Roman and Greek citizens, Gentiles, we talked about them last week. And Paul has been joined in his ministry now by Timothy. Timothy is the son of a Jewish woman, a woman that the Bible says was a follower of Jesus, and he's also the son of a Greek father. So being of Greek descent, having Timothy with him, with Paul, it would have provided him with an immediate rapport for a lot of the people they were talking to, because they shared that ancestry. Well, Paul and Timothy were traveling through the area of what is today Greece and Turkey. And as you see in the scriptures surrounding our text today, you continuously see where Paul references the Holy Spirit guiding them through this journey. It's either through some of the circumstances they faced. For example, they went into some towns and were rejected and asked to leave or thrown out. And Paul took that as a sign that he wasn't supposed to minister there, which was probably a good idea. And then other times he sees visions. We talked about one last week. And the same is true today. They've traveled to Macedonia after Paul sees a powerful vision that leads him into this small Roman colony. Now, these Roman colonies would have existed all over this area and in this particular region. And, of course, they were populated by the Greek and the Romans, and they also, in all likelihood, had a small contingent or population of Jews. You see, at this time in Jewish history, the center of worship was still in Jerusalem at the temple, but because of all the things that had happened to them over time, the Jews had established synagogues where they could go in their local communities and worship, much like we do with our churches today. But in order to establish a synagogue, it took 10 adult men in order to meet and agree to do that. So oftentimes in a small community like this, there wouldn't be enough men to establish the synagogue. So the people had a tradition of going down to the river or the local body of water, and that's where they would worship and pray. You know the song, Going Down to the River to Pray? That's probably where that came from. So this is where Paul and Timothy decide to go that day. And there they find a number of women that are gathered, and they begin sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And one woman in particular is mentioned by name, Lydia. And she is described as a merchant selling purple cloth. Now, in ancient times, cloth was not as easy to come by as it is for us today. Most people in Jesus' day wore just simple tunics and maybe a cloak or a shawl to protect them from the weather. And they were made of wool or linen or animal skins. And anything with color would have been something that had to be dyed using a natural dye, because they didn't have, of course, the things we have. But dyes in those days were natural, and the dye for purple was made from a juice found in very tiny quantities in shellfish. So for them to make just a small yard or two of purple cloth would have taken thousands and thousands of shellfish. So as you can guess, it was very expensive. Some likened it to being of value similar to silver. And it was very expensive, and it was a statement usually of status and wealth. Usually the royalty wore purple. So there's other references to purple in the Bible, and when you see those now, you have a little better understanding of why that is mentioned and why it's important. But in all likelihood, Lydia, as a merchant of purple, was likely very wealthy. and it could have been that she was the leader of this little group that met there by the river. The scripture describes her as having her heart opened by God and listening eagerly to what Paul and Timothy are saying. And though we don't get any of the details of that interaction, we can guess that she was very affected by that, because what happens next is she is baptized along with her entire household. Her first act, of course, after being baptized, is one of generosity and hospitality. She insists that Paul and Timothy come to stay with her. Now, as I imagine this scene, I can sense her excitement at this desire to learn more about Jesus Christ. And to have those apostles staying in her house will afford her many more opportunities to talk with them and learn more about this new life that she has accepted. And being a woman of influence and action, I can only imagine the impact that she subsequently had on that small Roman colony and that small community. Now, I know we often think that we don't have much influence in our lives, particularly on those around us. But you would be surprised to learn how much of a difference you make in the lives of others simply by embracing your faith and living it out each day. This past Tuesday, I was sitting down at the Lions Club. We were selling baked goods to people that were coming in to vote. And I'll share with you, I was a little uncomfortable because people kept coming up and saying, "Hi, Pastor Dave," and I had no clue who they were. It happens to me a lot. And it's not just my memory. It's just one of the hazards, I guess. But it was still a lot of fun to talk to people and get to know them a little better. And sometimes they would say to me, "Pastor Dave, I know you because I came to the Lenten services." And you remember we had over 100 people here throughout the Lenten season on Wednesday nights. Or, "I met you at the food pantry." Or, I introduced myself to you at that funeral service you did. So those are some of the ways that, you know, we get to know others in our community. And it happened yesterday. I was walking out of Walmart, and a lady that had sat on the bus with me, remember this, when we went to that play, Wendy, after I just first moved here, and she teases me because I fell asleep in the play, but that's another story. But it's just a bit startling to think about all the ways that we interact with people and the influence that we have on them. It's not unique to me. The same thing happens with each of you. You each have a circle of influence in your lives. And you know, I believe that God is counting on us to be his witness and his voice in the world. And we are not here in this location, in this time and place, by chance or by chaos. God has placed us here for a reason. And my friends, we have a job to do. We have a job to do. Well, our second scripture reading this morning describes a meeting between Jesus and a man at the Pool of Siloam, outside one of the gates in Jerusalem. It's a place where many people would come throughout the day. So it was a place where the blind and the paralyzed, people that were lame or sick, would often gather to be healed, because this pool is a special place. It's described where on occasion an angel would come down from heaven and stir the waters of that pool. And then the first person that would touch that water after that stirring would be healed of whatever malady they may have had. And John gives us the detail that this particular man has been there for 38 years. Now, John doesn't waste details. There's always a reason. And I'm not sure what the significance of 38 is, other than for the life expectancy in that time and place, it would have represented the majority of that man's lifetime. Because people didn't live much beyond 40, 45, 50. Well, 38 years is a long time to be sick, or to be lame, or to be paralyzed. And of course, today we treat people with disabilities much differently. You know, we build ramps, we have ways that they can get around, and it's not so much, it doesn't carry so much stigma in our day and age. But remember that in ancient Israel, someone that was blind or paralyzed would have been shunned and reduced to a life of begging. Well, a physical ailment of any sort then was considered something that was imposed by God as a punishment for a sin either you committed or one of your family members committed. It doesn't sound fair, but that's what they thought. And I think it's very interesting when you think about it, of all the people gathered at the pool that day, Jesus selected this man to talk to. He could have healed everyone at the pool that day, but he didn't. He selected this man. And he approaches this man and he asks the question that may seem silly at first. He says, "Do you want to be made well?" Well, what would you think? I've been sick for 38 years sitting beside this pool. Of course I want to be made well. But I got to thinking about it some more. And you know, there may be more to this story. You see, perhaps he staked out some prime spot there in one of the porticos. And as the people come in, they may have gotten to know him over the years. And it's clear that he's done all right because he's survived all those years waiting outside the pool. You see, this particular pool was one of the only sources of fresh water in the city. So just about everyone had to come that way throughout the day. And Jesus said, "Do you want to be made well?" It could be a very valid question. But you see, once he was healed and could walk, it's very likely he would be expected to work and make a living. He would no longer be able to live on a lifestyle where he relied on the compassion or the generosity of others. After living all his life in this condition, this man was no longer a young man. And as some of us outspread in mulch yesterday know, things are different when you're no longer a young person. Because I'm aching up here this morning. It's a risk, and it's a big one. And the response that the man gives Jesus doesn't really answer the question, does it? But before anything else can be said or done, Jesus tells him, "Stand up, take up your mat, and walk." And instantly, in that moment, the man is healed. His life is transformed, and he obediently does what he is told. I thought about it this week, and I wondered what happened to that man after this. Where did he go and what did he do? I felt sure that he must have experienced joy at having been physically healed. But he was also probably a little worried and intimidated by how he was going to survive now. Well, you see, we're not so very different. We too are healed through the words of Jesus Christ. It may not be in the same way as the man laying by the pool that day. But certainly we are healed spiritually when we accept Jesus into our lives. And probably to some extent we're healed emotionally. We too can experience great joy in the hope and assurance we have in eternal life. But we are too often, I think, intimidated and a little afraid about what we're supposed to do as followers of Jesus. I sometimes talk with people and they tell me the limits of what they can do. They say, "I can do this, but I can't do that." And I'm not putting down anyone. Everyone has gifts and, you know, and abilities. And yes, we should use those for God. But I think that too often we may become complacent or satisfied where we are in our spiritual lives. Have any of you seen that commercial on TV about the settlers? It's kind of funny, isn't it? We're going to settle for cable. We're not going to get the DirecTV and get all these features. But there's a message there for us too. And I think we become settlers in our faith. It's important though that I think we look for ways where we can stretch ourselves. It can be something as simple as reading scripture on Sunday morning, or leading a Bible study for your friends, or planning a special event or activity for our wonderful youth. It doesn't have to be something that goes on forever. It could be something that God speaks into your heart and that you recognize is coming from our Lord. It could be going on a mission trip. We're taking some folks to Guatemala this summer, and I can guarantee everyone going is going to be out of their comfort zone to do that. But the experience itself will give so much more than the sacrifice that it takes. I guess my point is the opportunities are endless for us to serve our Lord. And it, as I look around each week, there is so much potential for ministry here at Trinity. Each day is exciting when I think about all the capable people in this church and the many ways in our community, people in our community that could benefit from having a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Cleo shared with me this week that she's been working up at the fire station in the voting place there for quite some time. And she said it used to be she would know every person that came through the door. Every person. Isn't that what you told me? Well, she said this past week, she said up to two-thirds of them, she had no clue who they were. Two-thirds. Our town is changing. People are moving here. We don't know who they are. And in order for Center Hall to be a Christian community of faith, we have work to do. We have work to do. Don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid to talk to someone, invite them to come to church. And don't be afraid to act as Lydia did, with compassion and generosity and with an act of hospitality, because people respond to that. They don't see enough of that in this world today, and people respond to that. Well, I have one final phrase for you to think about this week. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Lord God, I just thank you so much for this day, for this opportunity to be in your house, for the rain that nourishes this earth, and for the beautiful greening of spring around us. Lord, be with us today as we celebrate and praise your name through the sacrament of Holy Communion. We pray these things in your precious Son's name. Amen.